WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
One of the striking features of the Academy Award-winning movie Dances with Wolves was the use of the Lakota language, which is spoken by the Sioux people. Linguist Jeffrey Nunberg says Lakota is more fortunate than many other languages.
Lakota is one of the few Native American languages that still have a fair number of speakers left. That may be because the Sioux are one of the largest Indian nations, whose communities are relatively self-contained. But the majority of the Native American languages spoken when the Europeans first arrived have already become extinct, and only a few are likely to survive into the next century. This is not just an American problem. All over the world, languages are dying out at a rate that makes the disappearance of biological species pale by comparison. For example, there are about 4,500 mammal species in the world, of which about 7.5% are endangered or threatened. By contrast, there are perhaps 6,000 human languages. And at the best estimate, roughly half of these are already doomed, in the sense that no children speak them anymore, only adults. They're like species whose members are all past breeding age. Another 45% of the world's languages are endangered or threatened, with rapidly declining numbers of speakers. That leaves just 5%, around 300 languages, that can be counted as safe. Part of this attrition is simply a result of the features of modern life that naturally draw people into wider communities, population movements, mass education, and the media. But a lot of languages have been actively suppressed. The English tried for centuries to eradicate all of the Celtic languages in the British Isles, and they were very nearly successful. Cornish and Manx are gone, and Welsh, Irish, and Scots Gaelic are hanging on by a thread. In this country, the Bureau of Indian Affairs began in the 1870s to force Indian children to go to boarding schools where they were often beaten for speaking their native languages. That system wasn't fully abandoned until after the Second World War. And policies like these are still in effect in many other nations. The Turks may have grudgingly allowed some Kurdish refugees to cross their border from Iraq, but it's still against the law in Turkey to speak Kurdish in public. Well, but why should anybody bother about the fate of Kickapoo and Paiute, or Welsh and Breton? It's obvious nobody can get by in the modern world without speaking a major language. But for many peoples, an ancestral language provides a sense of culture and community that an impersonal international language can't provide. In a few places, there are programs and organizations trying to give endangered languages a second lease on life, and these have recently gotten congressional support. There's some hope for Wallapai, Mohawk, and Inuit, and for some of the endangered languages of Australia and Europe. Still, most languages are already beyond saving. Within 100 years, almost all of the traditional cultures of the world will have become completely mute. I got a sense of what this is like from talking to the linguist Susan Steele, who works on Luiseno. That's a Southern California Indian language related to Hopi and Shoshone. There are only a handful of Luiseno speakers left, all of them old women. When the last male speaker died a few years ago, there was no one left to sing the songs that Luiseno men traditionally chant at funerals. You wonder what it's like to be the last speaker of a language, your head sounding with ghostly voices that only you can hear.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.